All right. Welcome back. We thought we'd begin by dimming the lights and giving you a glimpse at something a little more playful that CS50's team put together over the past few years, the first episode of which tells the story of a CS50 student starting off day zero of CS50 itself. Thanks to CS50's team for that, and that we can play some other time. All right. So before we do a little bit of feedback for the day, as well as a mini CS50 puzzle day to give you a sense vicariously of what students themselves experience and also to bring people together a bit more socially and collaboratively and intellectually with some puzzles, thought we would give you a look at one of the other demonstrations that we tend to use in class to get students thinking about two topics in a slightly different way. When we started today, we talked a little bit about pseudocode and the sample code for Mike Smith and finding someone in a phone book, the goal of which was just to start to clean up students' thought process and help them structure their thoughts in a computational way and using aesthetics like indentation and certain keywords to convey certain principles. And of course, along the way, we talked about abstraction. And whereas pseudocode might be very explicit, it nonetheless tends to assume certain abstractions. For instance, when I said open phone book to middle, well, what does that actually mean? All of us would instinctively go like that, but if you really dive into that, opening to the middle of the phone book could itself be an algorithm, skipping some number of pages, searching for the middle, and so there's certain abstractions that are useful because that pseudocode could very quickly become 100 steps if we really went into the weeds of explaining exactly what we want the human to do. And at some point, there's this trade-off between clarity and excessive detail that doesn't necessarily help one solve a problem. And so finding that balance is perhaps sometimes not obvious, and we thought we'd explore this in the context of implementing an algorithm ourselves. To do this first, I think we need a brave volunteer to come on up and participate in some instructions. Yes, Carrie, come on up. And if everyone else could take out a pen, perhaps their CS50 pen or any other writing device, we're going to give everyone a sheet of paper. Carrie, come on over. And as we get settled, allow me to say this is amazing. Just commenting that phone books are harder to find make lots of phone books easy to find. So our thanks to Lisa for bringing these all this way for us. These will make for many good demos for months to come. So thank you. And Carrie, David, nice to meet you. So what I'm about to do with Carrie up front here is show her and only her an image on my screen. I've turned off the projector for now. And Carrie is going to program all of you as the computers whose instruments are simply the pen or pencil that you might have and the sheet of paper, the canvas, if you will, on which you are going to draw exactly what Carrie sees. And the goal then is for Carrie to issue instructions, step by step, an algorithm, if you will, and for us all to execute it, hopefully accurately. Are you ready to see your drawing?
Sure.
All right, so you may only give verbal instructions, nothing physical. Here is the image for you. If you could please program our audience on drawing exactly that picture. Here we go.
Do I assume they already have pens or pencils? Or?
Is that a safe assumption?
Yeah. Sure.
Yes, step zero complete.
Okay. Place writing end of pen or pencil on paper. On bottom left of paper, lift pen up, move up halfway up the paper, put pen back down, drag pen to your right an inch and a half, drag pen down an inch and a half, drag pen to the left an inch and a half. Drag pen up an inch and a half. I wonder if anyone's looks. Okay. Lift pen up. Oh boy. Put pen back to the bottom left of your paper. Lift pen up. Move up halfway. Move over halfway to the center of the page. Put pen down. I know what I can't say.
Well, you can say anything you want.
Oh, I can say anything
you want. You just can't physically show anyone anything.
So I can just say to draw that?
Yes.
Draw a circle. Lift pen up. Depends on if you know what the instruction, what a circle is. Move to the right of where you just...
None of that.
Where you drew the circle. move to the right of where you drew the circle. Move 2 inches over more to the right. Put your pen down. Drag... pen back down and left an inch and a half. Lift up pen. Move to the right of where you just drew whatever came out on your pen. And draw a triangle. So now Okay.
End? Okay, exit.
End.
All right, give a round of applause if we could for Carrie. Certainly not easy. Let me go ahead and if we could, maybe Aaron, if you could help, let's collect a few of these. Can I take a few of these? Okay, thank you. I'd like to contribute. Let me come back there. Oh, sorry. Thank you. All right, anyone else want to contribute over here? Okay, yep, thank you. So certainly a bit of a tension between low-level implementation details, the put pen down, pick pen up, and the higher-level abstractions, which hopefully allowed things to be a little more easily done. Just going to take some random samples here of some of the pictures that came out by projecting them here. So here's one interpretation of Carrie's instructions. Okay, maybe it looked a bit like yours. Here's one that differs in that looks like the triangle was not filled in, so a little bit disparate. Here we have a slightly different one, a little squiggle there that wasn't in the earlier ones. This one seems not to be all along the same line, but definitely some similar shapes. Let's see, this one looked like this, so more along the same axis. So I'm actually impressed. I mean, the square came out, even though that was very low-level details. And I don't think Carrie ever said square. That was the first one that we did not use such an abstraction for. A lot of these are similar, which is good. This one took a turn, so to speak. A bit of a right angle there. And, okay, we'll end on this example. This one, definitely a different interpretation. So what it was that Carrie was seeing, if I may, was, drum roll, this. Oh, so we got pretty close with some of these, but do you mind offering?
It was that third one that I had no idea had it.
The straight line, yeah. Do you mind, can I just hand this back to you? Do you mind just verbalizing what might have been going on through your head and what was hard, what was easy?
Figuring out what level to, I mean, the third one, the slanted line was challenging, but figuring out how to tell people when to lift and kind of how to put the shapes relative to each other was more the harder part. I mean, like the square seemed to make sense, you know? You go over, down.
And even then, thank you, even then you might imagine that it is as simple, thanks, as just saying draw a square. But what orientation? Most of us might draw it with the one of the bars horizontal with the paper, but not necessarily. There was a step that we didn't really clarify at the start. It should be landscape mode, portrait mode. Is 1.5 inches the same on my screen as it might be on your paper? So there's all of these different weeds in which you can get tangled. And yet there's this tension, therefore, between abstraction and low-level details. Some of you, if you used or grew up with a logo or a similar language where you have a turtle or some such device drawing on the screen, that was kind of the direction that perhaps Carrie was going in at first, sort of put the pen down and then describe what you want to draw in terms of movements, which is really below the level of useful abstractions of shapes. But here too, we end up getting pretty close with some of these. Well, let's turn the tables a little bit and this time ask for one other volunteer who's willing to come up. And this time, this volunteer will be drawing, not describing. Yeah, okay, come on up. And Austin, nice to see you, come on up. All right, so on our system here, the best I can do for showing everyone else what you should draw is by putting it up here. So we're gonna ask that you draw very close to the board without ever looking up. That's the only constraint. All right, so this is Austin. I'm gonna go ahead and lower my laptop and change to the image. So here, I'm gonna show up one image. We'll leave it to the audience to describe step by step what Austin should draw just by giving him instructions one at a time. The password is this. All right, who would like to, I don't know if we should start with oh my. No pressure. Would someone like to offer up step zero? Step zero. Anyone at all?
Draw a circle.
Draw a circle. All right, step one, zero indexed.
Since we can say anything, right?
You can say anything.
Okay, then continue that circle. To draw a sticky man.
Continue the circle to draw a sticky man.
Without arms.
Without arms. And if you want to occasionally maybe step to the side just so everyone can see what you've drawn. All right.
Yeah, make all the lines you have drawn so far about as long as the circle's diameter.
Okay, so make all the lines you've drawn as long as the circle's diameter. I guess we have an undo operator here too, that's okay. Okay, step three.
Go to the point where the body meets the head.
Go to the point where the body meets the head. And?
Draw a line to the right at a 45 degree angle.
Draw a line to the right at a 45 degree angle.
Same length.
Same length.
Now that same length, draw.
Make a 90 degrees left.
90 degrees angle left.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay, they'll take that. Okay, next step.
At the end of both lines, make a perpendicular shorter line at the left towards the body, at the right away from the body.
Or just do hands on hips for that one.
Mm-hmm. Hands on hips for that one.
That one going, the other one going up.
The other one goes up, like he's waiting. Reverse last step.
Reverse last step, okay. And?
Instead go up.
At a 65 degree angle.
Like your protractor, like he's waving.
Like he's waving.
Like he's waving.
Mm-hmm. At the top left.
At the top left.
About
of the circle.
Of the head.
Of the head.
About 3 inches up.
About 3 inches up.
Diagonal line facing left.
Diagonal line facing left.
Yep. And then say hi.
And then say hi.
Stop.
Stop.
Now say hi.
Now say hi.
Right.
Okay, and now a round of applause if we go ahead. It's very, almost perfect, very nicely done. So this is an example, and you can come up with any number of images to really show students how to think about abstraction, how to think about it being useful, but also how to think about it being ill-defined. And indeed, programming can, in part, be about implementing APIs, as we'll eventually discuss in a course like this, and the underlying implementation details thereof. And we hope that examples like this are a fun way to get students thinking about those very things so that even when they get hung up on semicolons and parentheses, it's really the same ideas they're exploring. They're just expressing them in code instead of verbalizing here. Yes, Lisa.
After an exercise like that, would you go through and say, okay, when we said draw a circle, you know, there's an abstraction?
Absolutely.
So you would sort of deconstruct the experience?
Indeed, and certainly depending on questions and how the experiment went, each of these I would call these sort of rabbit holes we can go down, and if it feels appropriate to spend time on that topic, absolutely. And the fact that Carrie didn't use a square at first would be my point of departure for talking about why an abstraction would have been more useful from the get-go. Because I'm guessing when everyone started drawing, it was very non-obvious what we were drawing, and maybe only eventually it was, oh, I just drew a square. And so yes, I think each of those shapes is a good candidate for that. Other questions? No? All right. Let me turn things over then to Aaron.